We get back, and after we get back from vacation there in February down at Word and Worship and Workshop, it seemed like just a month later, we had this COVID lockdown. This disease comes from overseas, and we end up having the whole country locked down for COVID. And then that made things even worse. My father-in-law, we thought just as he was getting back into the nursing home again, and things were going to be starting going his way, and he seemed like he was getting better, then all of a sudden, he gets confused because now we can't come to see him, and he can't go anywhere. Nothing can, he's locked down. He doesn't understand that. And the last time I spoke to him, to tell you how confusing it was for him, and it's like this for people all over the country, right? The last thing I spoke to him, he told me that they wouldn't let him leave his room, and they wouldn't let anybody come to see him. And he said, "George, you need to come over here, and you need to fix this." Well, I couldn't fix it. There was nothing I could do for it. It was an empty feeling. So it wasn't long after that, Roger died. I'm sure that all the stress and everything just added to it. And that was just the beginning of the year. He died May 1st. And that was just the beginning of the year. So my point is, 2020's been like this, right? It's been tough for everybody. It's been tough for my family. It's been tough for your family. How does a Christian cope? How do we cope as Christians when things just keep happening? Things just keep bombarding us? What I think we have to do is, as always, keep the main thing the main thing. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34 says this: "So then don't worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For the unconverted pursue these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So then, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own." We need to keep the first thing the first thing. We need to make sure that we understand that we need to serve God and Christ and seek first Him and His kingdom, and that all the things of this world, do you understand that this world is going to be destroyed? There's going to be nothing left. We worry about things and we pursue things in this world. We worry about our houses and we worry about our cars and we worry about the immediate things that we have here. When the real main thing we need to do is keep Christ first. Keep that above everything else. In this time, we've had issues that with the government making decisions that sometimes we don't necessarily like. But we still have to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to make sure to keep God first. With that in mind, and what happens on earth, it doesn't really matter. But we need to do what pleases God. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5 tells us this: "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except by God's appointment, and the authorities that exist have been instituted by God. So the person who resists such authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers cause no fear for good conduct, but for bad. Do you desire not to fear authority? Do good, and you'll receive its commendation. For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be in fear, for it does not bear the sword in vain. It is God's servant to administer retribution to the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subject, not only because of the wrath of the authorities, but also because of your conscience." Now, I get it. I get it. Sometimes we don't agree with the decisions that our government makes. Especially in this year here, we've seen different kind of lockdowns and the things that we've had to do. We disagree with it. I get it. We're from America. You know, no one tells us what to do. But we got to remember, just because you're an American, if you're a Christian, you still need to please God. Above all else, you need to please God. We need to remember that the main thing is pleasing God and spreading the gospel. Now, keep in mind that when Paul wrote this letter, it was toward the end of the reign of Claudius, who was the emperor of Rome, and toward the beginning of Nero's rule. So Paul lived at a time when Claudius and Nero were kind of switching over. He lived in both times there. But when this letter was written, it was right about that time, right about 55 AD, about the time that Claudius was ending his reign and Nero was taking over. And he still said, think about this. He was in a place where they were persecuting Christians. They were killing Christians. Nero was one of the most notorious after that. But Paul still said, obey the governing authorities. Do what the authorities tell you to do. It was a time of great persecution for the church. Today, we have authorities around the world that still do things like that. I'm in contact with some friends in Uganda, okay? And one day, I was in a store. I got off work one morning, and I stopped by a sporting goods store, and our friend Asinja asked me, what are you doing? He texted me, what are you doing? I said, I'm buying ammunition for my gun. He said, in Uganda, it's treason to own a gun. And there's no point in even having ammunition because it's treason to own a gun. So it makes you think, when you think about things like that, it makes you think how good we do have it in this country. And how, no matter where you're at, okay, even if it's in Uganda, Paul, this still applies to Christians. No matter how harsh the government is that you're in, this still applies. That as a Christian, our main goal is to spread the gospel, and we need to get that word out. And in order to do that, we want to live peaceably with our government. Another story that I was told by the fellows over there in Uganda, the preachers in Uganda, was that there was a man, part of their COVID lockdown was they couldn't have more than one person on a motorcycle at a time. And it was a man and his wife that were driving around looking for food. And as they were driving around looking for food, The government authorities saw that they had two on a motorcycle and shot him. Just shot him because he was disobeying the rules. My point is that as Christians, we still need to obey the government, the mandate, the things that we do. So on this COVID thing, right? So COVID hits. And I honestly think that through this, if you look back at the beginning of the year when this COVID hit, not everybody knew what it was or what was going on. There was a lot of people hospitals being overwhelmed. They didn't know how to treat it. There wasn't any treatments out there. But I do believe that overall, our authorities, our governments, were doing their best with the information that they had. The decisions they were making were the best that they could do. Part of what makes me realize that is that as elders at this congregation, we're doing our best too to make the decisions. Now, we've made the decision to close the church building down for a couple of weeks. And part of that decision came from, I work third shift. And I go to bed every morning. I get up in the afternoon. And in the meantime, we have a communication that we do between us elders. It's text messaging, you know. And so I get up in the afternoon, first thing I do is I check that text message. Well, several days in a row, every day on that text message, was somebody else from the church or somebody else from the school here at Harland, had tested positive for COVID. And that's tough. You know, as one of the leaders here, we feel helpless. You know, what are you going to do? What can you do? I mean, do we know that closing down for 2 weeks is going to be the answer? No. But we're doing the best with the information that we have. Okay? So we need to pray. Pray for the leaders of our country as they make these decisions. Pray for us elders as we make these decisions. We're not saying that these are exactly what needs to be done. The people, the governors of these states, they're making calls that are tough. They're talking to the people around them and getting as much information as they can, and they're discussing these things, and they're making the decisions to the best of their ability. And Paul says that as Christians, we need to follow what they tell us. So pray for our leaders. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul says this. First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanks be offered on behalf of all people, even for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Such prayer for all is good and welcome before God our Savior. So he encourages Timothy, pray for everybody. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. Pray for our governors. Pray for those that have to make these decisions. And be real careful when you look at these decisions that they're making. Something I learned a while back listening to a radio show, it was a psychologist, and he was talking about how a lot of times we get upset at decisions that people make and the things that people make because we assign intent. When somebody says something, we say, oh, we know why he said that. He said that because of this. Well, you don't know that, okay? And so we have to be really careful that we don't assign intent. When the governor says, look, I need to lock down, let's lock down and only have be able to meet with 10 people at a time. Don't think that it's some big conspiracy, okay? We have to think that he's doing what's best for us because he's God's servant. Whether he even believes in God or not, God put him in authority. He's God's servant for that reason. And we can't jump to conclusions like that. We can't think, like when the church leaders here decided to shut things down for a couple of weeks, please don't jump to conclusions that it's some big conspiracy. We're doing the best that we can with the information that we have at hand. And that's what our governors are doing. That's what our leaders are doing. They're doing the best that they can with they have. Are they always going to make the right decisions? Maybe. Maybe not. They're human. Now, lockdowns, masks, quarantine, are these necessary mandates? I don't know. But be careful not to disobey mandates just out of pure rebellion. If you have some reason to believe, okay, like we got into a discussion the other day at home about the whole mask thing, the mask mandates, all right? And I understand it's a big hot-button issue with people. They're really upset about whether or not they should wear a mask, okay? And if the government mandates it, the governor mandates it, as Christians, unless it goes against, and I'll talk about this here in a minute, we have to be careful not just to say, well, I'm not wearing one, out of rebellion. We have to be careful that there's good reason. If you're not going to wear a mask, there needs to be good reason for that. Because I don't know if you realize this or not. A lot of people don't even realize this scripture is even in the Bible. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the first section of that sermon, or that verse, Samuel's talking to the king and explaining to him that because they rebelled, because he rebelled, he would no longer be king. And he says this, for rebellion is like the sin of divination or the sin of witchcraft. And presumption is like the evil of idolatry. Now, presumption is translated in other scriptures as stubbornness. Okay? Now, I understand in this country, sometimes we wear it as a badge of honor that we're rebels, that we're rebellious. God says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And that presumption or stubbornness is like the evil of idolatry. That word presumption there comes from a Hebrew word, potstar, which means to be insolent. We have to watch things like that because a lot of times that comes with our attitude. Now there's a lot different things in your attitude, right? If I'm not wearing a mask, and I have good reason for not wearing a mask, let's say that I have some psychological condition that makes it so that I can't wear a mask. I know at work, we have to get fitted for masks for certain areas of the plant. And one of the things they ask you on that when you're getting fitted for a mask is, are you claustrophobic? And there are people at work that are claustrophobic, and there's one person I know of who is off work right now. Because of the mask mandate, you have to wear a mask, and this person cannot wear a mask because he gets panic attacks because of wearing the mask. So he's actually on sick leave right now because he can't wear a mask. That's a reason. If you're just going to do it out of rebellion, if your attitude is, I don't care what they say, we have to watch that. We have to check our attitude because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, we can disobey rules, but only when they go against God. If the government makes a rule that goes against what God says, that's the only time we can disobey them. But we still have to be respectful and watch our attitude when we do it. We can't have the attitude that we're looking forward to disobeying, if you understand what I mean. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29 says this. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Look, you filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than man." Now, there are situations. A fella asked me the other day, you know, there's a lot of talk about guns and defending yourself and things like that, right? And this guy said, you know, what would happen if something did pop off? You know, he said, would it be okay for a Christian to defend themselves with a weapon? And I said, just like a lot of things, I think it comes down to attitude. If you attack me, the legal definition of self-defense is the minimal amount of force needed to ward off an attacker. If you try everything you possibly can to ward off that attacker, if you try everything you possibly can to protect yourself, that's the right attitude to have. If you're trying to, but if you look forward, if you're stockpiling ammo because you're looking forward to this thing popping off, and you already got your gun nest built in the top of your house, then I would say you've got the wrong attitude. If you're trying, getting ready for this thing, looking forward to using your gun for this situation, I'd say check your attitude. You shouldn't want to get the opportunity to go out and hit somebody. You know, if somebody, you know, I used to have the attitude when I was younger that I would kind of hope that somebody might do something to me because I thought it would be kind of fun. But I can't have that attitude as a Christian. I can still defend myself, but I can't have the attitude that I'm looking for the opportunity to take somebody out by doing that, if that makes any sense at all. In this country, our ultimate law comes from our Constitution. And our courts keep leaders in check so not to go against it. So that if our leaders make a decision that goes against the Constitution, we've seen this happen this year already. It goes up to the courts, and through the court system, the courts decide if it goes against the Constitution or if it doesn't. It's unlawful for our leaders to make rules that are unconstitutional. Now, that being said, there are things that are made legal that you can do, but just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Case in point, abortion is legal. You can go out and get pregnant, and if you decide you don't want that child, you can go in and have an abortion. You can kill that child. Just because you can, just because it's lawful, doesn't mean you should, because that goes against what God wants you to do. We always have to keep that in mind. Now, with that in mind, that brings us to this last little bit here that's gone on in the last month, the election woes. There's been a lot of, I mean, I'm looking at it, it's pretty wild. Either one of two things happened here. Either an awful lot of people decided to go out and vote. We've had more voter turnout than we've ever seen ever. So either an awful lot of people decided that they wanted to voice their opinion and they wanted to make their exercise their right and vote, or there is some shenanigans going on. Who knows? That is for the courts to decide. It's going through all that right now. So whatever it is. But our goal as Christians, regardless of what this election is doing, regardless of it splitting people, regardless, our goal has to be to spread the gospel and not do anything that will hinder spreading that gospel. I had an example happen this week. I found out I was wearing a Trump hat. I'm not a dogged advocate or whatever, but I just happened to be wearing a Trump hat to work. And I found out there was one fellow that wouldn't, he refused to work with me because I was wearing a Trump hat. Now, he didn't say anything to me about it, but when I found out, the boss that told me about it, I told him, I said, well, that's, I don't want to be offensive. I am a Christian after all. So if I can remedy the situation by not wearing the hat, then I'll just stop wearing the hat. That's got to be our attitude, right? Because my goal is to spread the gospel. It doesn't matter to me. Spreading the gospel has nothing to do with who the president is. Unless they try to hinder us from doing that. But right now, in this country, we can spread the gospel to anybody we want to. If that hat's going to hinder me from spreading the gospel, I'm going to stop wearing that hat, if that'll make a difference. And then another fellow, because of the hat I was wearing, it actually opened up a good conversation. This fellow was a Democrat, and it actually, we started talking about the different issues and differences. And in that then, because he realized that I'm not some crazy guy, I'm rational, we've had some really good conversations. Now, I don't know if he realizes this, but my goal then is to make him realize that I am rational, I am calm, I can think. Therefore, when I tell you about Jesus Christ and what he wants to do for you in your life, you'll realize that it's just not some off-the-cuff thing. That's got to be our ultimate goal, right? We can't let these issues of who the president is or who we voted for or big arguments or whether we're for mask mandates or whether we're for lockdowns, we have to remember that our main goal is to preach the gospel and to win souls. Leaders are put in place by God. Leaders all over the world are put in place by God. Believe it or not, and this is going to freak people out, but Hitler wouldn't have had the power he had without the authority of God. Jesus stood before Pilate. And in John chapter 19, verse 11, just before that, Pilate said, "Don't you realize I have the power to release you? Don't you realize that I'm the one that can let you go?" Jesus replied in verse 11, "You would have no authority over me at all, unless it was given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of greater sin." He told Pilate, "You would not have that authority you have over me if it wasn't given to you from above." The governors that we have here, the mayors that we have here, the president that we have here, are all ordained by God. They're put in place by God. It doesn't seem like that sometimes when you look around the world and you look at some of the leaders that have been in place. But God's got a plan. He put them in place. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, to be subject to every human institution for the Lord's sake, whether a king as supreme or to governors as those who he commissions to punish wrongdoers and praise those who do good. For God wants you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. By our actions, by what we do, by not participating in the ridiculous things that happen and the silly arguments, as long as we keep in mind the first thing is the first thing, that we have to preach the gospel. We can't do anything in our actions or our words or our deeds that are going to hinder that, preaching the gospel. God wants us to silence the ignorance of people around us by doing good. We have to remain doing good all the time. And we have to pray for our leaders that they make the right decisions. Pray for our leaders that the decisions they make are going to keep us free so we can preach the gospel. There's been several times over the years in history when you look back when people have been martyred and killed for preaching the gospel. We're in this country, we're blessed to be able to have the ability to preach the gospel and to speak to people freely and not have to worry about that. There's been a lot of controversy about these lockdowns, right, where the government come in and they closed down church, you know, and things like that. And that went to the courts again. And there were some court cases that said you can't do that because that goes against the Constitution. That's why in this last round of lockdowns, you see, they locked down things like bars. And they locked down, you know, they didn't knock them down, but they're starting to. But the one thing they did leave open, at least in Indiana and Ohio, was the churches. You can still meet if you need to. Or you can still meet, you know, if you want to get together. Now, like I said, here, we decided, right, wrong, or indifferent, to take a couple-week break and see if we could mitigate the spread a little bit. If we want to be, if we want to continue to be safe and free to worship God, we need our leaders not to be opposed to us. So we can't be opposed to them. When we want to discuss things, we have to have a discussion. Riots don't do any good. Big, giant protests don't. There's a way to do things that is proper. In this country, we do have the right to protest if it's a peaceful protest. And as Christians, if we're going to be involved in those things, they have to be peaceful. We have to have a dialogue there. We need to, whenever we can, show the authorities that we're here for good. That being said, the ultimate in keeping the main thing, we have to act like Christians. We have to act Christ-like. We have to show those around us the importance of God. That's the main thing. The main thing is preaching the gospel and getting the word out. It doesn't really matter if who ends up being our president this time around, whether it be Biden, whether it be Trump. It doesn't really, either one is going to be put in place by God. God is going to put them in place. We need to pray that the decisions that they make will make it easy for us to spread the gospel. That's got to be our prayer as Christians. But the ultimate in keeping the main thing, is obeying the Lord. You get to a point where there may be some that are listening to this right now that aren't Christians, that don't understand what that means to obey the Lord. So the main thing that you need to do is first get into the Lord, get into Christ, become a Christian. And that starts out with belief. The first thing you need to do is we need to believe. John 3:16 says, "For this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So we need to believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. We need to believe that he's out there for our best. He gave his life for us so that our sins could be washed away, because we all sin. But we can repent of that sin. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says this, "Therefore, although God has overlooked such times of ignorance, he now commands all people everywhere to repent." There was a time when God overlooked your ignorance, and you could claim ignorance. But now, God doesn't overlook that ignorance. Now he calls people to repent. When you know you're doing something wrong, you need to stop doing that and turn your life around. You add that onto the belief. Belief is what's going to lead you to that repentance. Then, we need to confess him before men. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Whoever then acknowledges me before people, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." If we talk to the people around us about Christ, and we acknowledge that we are Christians, and we act like we are Christians, don't act like a bunch of nut jobs, but act like we are Christians and confess before men, he will acknowledge us before our Father, which is in heaven. Next is the beginning of your Christian walk. Next is to be baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter was preaching to a huge crowd of people on Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost following Christ's resurrection. And and they asked him. We got to a point where they were pricked to the heart. And what he was saying about Christ and how they killed Christ and how Christ died for their sins, they asked this question: "What should we do then? What can we do?" And Peter answered in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." At that point, that's when you become a Christian. That's the point at which at one time you were not a Christian, now you are a Christian when you come up out of that watery grave of baptism. Romans chapter 6 gives us a perfect example of that. It tells us about how it's a death, a burial, and a resurrection. We're buried with Christ in baptism, in that baptism. When we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, our old man dies and the new man comes out. That's the only time in your life you're going to be all brand new, is when you're standing in that baptismal afterwards. You haven't had a chance to sin yet. And all your other sins are washed away. You're a new man. But it doesn't end there. We need to be faithful unto death. That includes everything that we do in our lives. When we're talking about all the things that are going on right now, the voting, the following of the rules of the land, the following the lockdowns, the mandates, the things that we have to do, that's all part of being faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not be afraid of the things you're about to suffer." The devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison so you may be tested. You will experience suffering for 10 days. Remain faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of that is life itself. We need to remain faithful. That's the most important thing, right? That's the main thing. The main thing is the main thing. Whether it be COVID lockdowns, whether it be elections we don't agree with, whether it be things the government chooses that we don't agree with, if we're going to disagree with our government, we need to do it in legal ways. We need to do it in a Christian way. But the most important thing is keep in mind that we are Christians, and the main thing is to convert people and get them to heaven. If you haven't done any of these things, feel free to contact me. You can contact me on Facebook. If you're watching this on Facebook now, you got Facebook. You can contact me and I'll help you out. We'll answer more questions for you. But that's the main thing. We need to keep the main thing, the main thing. We need to act like Christians in all of these things. Thank you.